Big data has come to medical research, and it turns out patient records and leftover tissue that was once discarded could play a big part in understanding disease. Patients at University of Washington Medicine will soon be asked whether they will consent to having their records included in those studies. But ethicists say there could be risks. KUOW's Amy Radel reports.
Researchers at the Fred Hutchinson Cancer Research Center are using tumor tissue and clinical data to look for patterns among patients with pancreatic cancer. They're studying patients' records, trying to learn what makes one patient live longer than another and which treatments work better. Now, a new UW-led consortium called Northwest Biotrust is offering a database of tissues, blood samples, and patient records to facilitate that research. Dr. John Slattery is the Vice Dean for Research at the UW School of Medicine. He's the founder of what became Northwest Biotrust. He says scientists need a high volume of patient records to analyze all the possible factors in the development of disease.
We wanted to be able to look at the individual patient record in a way that would require a research team potentially to know the identity of that individual patient, and in order to conduct that research without needing to separately go out and get consent.
Slattery says researchers often spend a lot of time and money seeking out the right patients and getting their consent. The advantage to a database like Northwest Biotrust is that patients have already consented when their tissues and records are included in it. Researchers can study patients by age, environment, or get the results of medical procedures. The records could include sensitive information like mental health history, drug and alcohol treatment, and whether the person has sexually transmitted diseases like HIV. In the coming months, patients in the UW Health System and Seattle Cancer Care Alliance will be asked for their consent to have their medical records and leftover blood or tissue used in future research. The informed consent process can occur at the check-in desk for a doctor's appointment, with the forms appearing on one of those little screens. Slattery says in a pilot project, so far 80% of patients said yes, and if patients opt out, that's fine.
We felt that most people would be comfortable actually saying yes for general use. It's supporting medical research with real patient experience and with specimens from real patients. But if for whatever reason, we don't ask why. Just say no.
He notes that your doctor will not see your answer, so it won't affect your medical treatment. The consent form must identify any risks to the patient. In this case, the main risk is that someone other than your doctors and the researchers might see your medical information. In order to seek this consent from patients, Northwest Biotrust had to have the process approved by an ethics board called an Institutional Review Board, or IRB. These boards were first created in the 1970s to consider the ethics of medical research and protect human subjects. The UW has six separate IRBs to oversee all its research proposals. Karen Moe is the head of the university's Human Subjects Division. She says the IRB wanted Northwest Biotrust to explain any risks to patients and how patient information will be used.
So are subjects and participants being asked for consent? What is provided to them in the way of information as part of the consent process? And then the issue of identifiability is a major issue, and the use to which the specimens will be put.
Researchers will pay fees to Northwest Biotrust for access to these records and specimens. Scientists within the Hutch, Seattle Children's, and the UW could have full access to patient records. De-identified records and specimens with code numbers will also be available to outside researchers and companies. In a UW lecture from 2013, the Biotrust's director, Dr. Stephen Schmeckel, said biobanks around the country have had trouble sustaining themselves financially. He said outside companies are important sources of revenue.
We liked to work with for-profit industry because we could increase our rates anywhere between 50 and 110%. doing those sorts of contracts with industry primarily as a means of generating cash to sort of float the boat.
But those fees aren't always apparent to patients. The project's website states that Northwest BioTrust will not make any money from your tissue or blood samples. It does say another institution could profit from a discovery involving BioTrust samples. BioTrust founder John Slattery says the fees just offset the costs of the program.
Northwest BioTrust does collect fees both from internally from investigators and outside as it distributes these specimens. But those fees, nobody makes any profit off of those things. They simply keep a rather expensive apparatus running.
Multiple IRB members reviewing Northwest BioTrust said they had concerns about plans to charge industry for access to patient data. The line between research versus selling became blurry to us, one member said. They spoke on the condition of anonymity because they're not allowed to discuss these proceedings publicly. The main risk to patients of having their tissues and records accessed would be through a data breach or by identifiable information getting traced back to a group or individual in a way that could affect their health insurance or employment. Michelle Mello is a professor at Stanford Law School and the Stanford School of Medicine. She says biobanks are growing around the country. They're all having to figure out the ethics of informed consent and how patient information will be used. Mello said while it's common to ask patients for wide-open consent, it could be useful to give patients more control over their information.
For example, I was once asked to sign a general consent, and I thought to myself, I'm quite happy for my sample to be used by other academic researchers, but I don't want it sold to a private company and used to develop commercial products.
Mello said she didn't have a way to give consent for academic research only, so she opted out. Some members of the IRB overseeing Northwest BioTrust say university officials have aggressively pushed the project and the review process was contentious. Now, committee members are protesting the university's decision to take Northwest BioTrust out of their hands and assign it to a different committee. Karen Moe says these kinds of transfers are routine and occur frequently. The IRB has pushed back. Members say switching oversight at this point creates an appearance of impropriety. In a letter dated January 1st and signed by the entire committee, they wrote that removing the BioTrust could be seen as interference with the committee's judgment and conveys a lack of respect for the good faith work of this committee. Moe says she's preparing to respond to the letter. I'm Amy Radel, KUOW News.